Okay, we are starting Chapter 5 of The Order of the Phoenix, called The Order of the Phoenix. My dear old mum, yeah, said Sirius. We've been trying to get her down for a month, but we think she put up a permanent stickening charm on the back of the canvas. Let's get downstairs quick before they all wake up again. But what's the portrait of your mother doing here? Harry asked, bewildered, as they went through the door from the hall and led the way down a flight of narrow stone steps, the others just behind them. Hasn't anyone told you? This was my parents' house, said Sirius. But I'm the last black left, so it's mine now. I offered it to Dumbledore for headquarters, about the only useful thing I've been able to do. Harry, who had expected a better welcome, noted how hard and bitter Sirius's voice sounded. He followed his godfather to the bottom of the stairs and through a door leading to the basement kitchen. It was scarcely less gloomy than the hall above, a cavernous room with rough stone walls. Most of the light was coming from a large fire at the end of the room. A haze of pipe smoke hung in the air like battle fumes, through which loomed the menacing shapes of heavy iron pots and pans hanging from a dark ceiling. Many chairs had been crammed into the room for the meeting, and a long wooden table stood in the middle of the room, littered with rolls of parchment, goblets, empty wine bottles, and a heap of what looked to be rags. Mr. Weasley and his eldest son, Bill, were talking quietly with their heads together at the end of the table. Mrs. Weasley cleared her throat. Her husband, a thin, balding, red-haired man who wore horn-rimmed glasses, looked around and jumped to his feet. Harry! Said Mr. Weasley, looking forward to greet him and shaking his hand vigorously. Good to see you. Over his shoulder, Harry saw Bill, who still wore his hair long, in a ponytail, hastily rolling up the lengths of parchment left on the table. Journey all right, Harry? Bill called, trying to gather up 12 scrolls at once. Mad I didn't come via Greenland then. He tried, said Tonks, riding over to help Bill and immediately sending a candle toppling onto the last piece of parchment. Oh, no, sorry. Here, dear, said Mrs. Weasley, sounding exasperated, and she repaired the parchment with a wave of her wand. In the flash of light caused by Mrs. Weasley's charm, Harry caught a glimpse of what looked like the plan of a building. Mrs. Weasley had seen him looking. She snatched the plan off the table and stuffed it in Bill's heavily laden arms. This sort of thing ought to be cleared away promptly at the end of the meetings, she snapped, before sweeping off toward an ancient dresser from which she started unloading dinner plates. Bill took out his wand, muttered, Ivanesco, and the scrolls vanished. Sit down, Harry. You've met Mundungus, haven't you? The thing Harry had taken to be a pile of rags, gave a prolonged, grunting snore, and then jerked awake. Someone say my name? Mundungus mumbled sleepily. I agree with Sirius. He raised a very grubby hand in the air as though voting, his droopy, bloodshot eyes unfocused. Ginny giggled. The meeting's over, Dung, said Sirius, as they all sat down around him at the table. Harry's arrived. Eh? Said Mundungus, peering balefully at Harry as though through his matted ginger hair. Blimey, so he is. You all right, Harry? Yeah, said Harry. Mundungus fumbled nervously in his pockets, still staring at Harry, and pulled out a grimy black pipe. He stuck it in his mouth, ignited the end of it as with his wand, and took a deep pull on it. Great billowing clouds of greenish smoke obscured him in seconds. Owe you an apology, grunted a voice from the middle of the smelly cloud. For the last time, Mundungus, cried Mrs. Weasley, will you please not smoke that thing in the kitchen, especially when we're about to eat? Ah, said Mundungus. Right, sorry, Molly. The cloud of smoke vanished as Mundungus stowed his pipe back in his pocket, but an acrid smell of burning socks lingered. And if you want dinner before midnight, I'll need a hand, said Mrs. Weasley to the room at large. No, you can stay where you are, Harry, dear. You've had a long journey. What can I do, Molly? Said Tonks enthusiastically, bounding forward. Mrs. Weasley hesitated, looking apprehensive. No, it's all right, Tonks. Have a rest. You've done enough today. No, I want to help, said Tonks brightly, knocking over a chair as she hurried toward the dinner table, toward the dresser from which Ginny was collecting cutlery. Soon, a series of heavy knives were chopping meat and vegetables on their own accord, supervised by Mr. Weasley, while Mrs. Weasley stirred a cauldron dangling over the fire and the others took out plates, more goblets, and food from the pantry. Harry was left at the table with Sirius and Mundungus, who was still blinking mournfully at him. "Seen old Figgy since?" he asked. "No," said Harry. "I haven't seen anyone." "See, I wouldn't have left," said Mundungus, leaning forward, a pleading note in his voice. "But I had a business opportunity." Harry felt something brush against his knees and started. But it was only Crookshanks, Hermione's bandy-legged ginger cat, who wound himself once around Harry's legs, purring, and then jumped onto Sirius's lap and curled up. Sirius scratched him absent-mindedly behind the ears as he turned, still grim-faced, to Harry. "Had a good summer so far?" "No, it's been lousy," said Harry. For the first time, something like a grin flitted across Sirius's face. "Don't know what you're complaining about myself." "What?" said Harry incredulously. "Personally, I'd have welcomed a Dementor attack," Sirius said. "A deadly struggle for my soul would have broken the monotony nicely. You think you've had it bad. At least you've been able to get out about, stretch your legs, get into a few fights. I've been stuck inside for a month." "How comes?" asked Harry, frowning. "Because the Ministry of Magic's still after me, and Voldemort will know all about me being an animagus now. Wormtail will have told him, so my big disguise is useless. There's not much I can do for the Order of the Phoenix, or so Dumbledore feels." There was something about the slightly flattened tone of voice in which Sirius uttered Dumbledore's name that told Harry that Sirius was not very happy with the headmaster either. Harry felt a sudden upsurge of affection for his godfather. "At least you've known what's been going on," he said bracingly. "Oh yeah," said Sirius sarcastically. "Listening to Snape's reports, having to take all his snide hints that he's out there risking his life, while I've sat on my backside, having a comfortable time, asking how the cleaning's going."
"What cleaning?" asked Harry.
"Try to make this place fit for human habitation," said Sirius, waving a hand around the dismal kitchen. "No one's lived here for 10 years, not since my dear old mother died. Unless you count her old house elf, he's gone round with a twist, hasn't cleaned anything in ages." "Sirius," said Mundungus, who did not appear to have paid any attention to this conversation, but had been minutely examining an empty goblet. "This solid silver, mate?" "Yes," said Sirius, surveying it with distaste. "Finest 15th-century goblin-wrought silver, embossed with the black family crest." "They'd come off, though," muttered Mundungus, polishing it with his cuff. "Fred George, no, just carry them," said Mrs. Weasley. Harry, Sirius, and Mundungus looked around, and a split second later dived away from the table. Fred and George had bewitched a large cauldron of stew, an iron flagon of butterbeer, and a heavy wooden breadboard, complete with knife, to hurtle through the air toward them. The stew skidded the length of the table and came to a halt just before the end, leaving a long black burn on the wooden surface. The flagon of butterbeer fell with a crash, spilling its contents everywhere, and the bread knife slipped off the board and landed, point down and quivering ominously, exactly where Sirius's right hand had been a second before.
"For heaven's sake," screamed Mrs. Weasley, "there was no need. I've had just enough of this. Just because you're allowed to use magic, now you don't have to whip your wands out for every tiny little thing."
"We were just trying to save a little bit of time," said Fred, hurrying forward and wrenching the bread knife out of the table. "Sorry, Sirius, mate. I didn't mean to." Harry and Sirius were both laughing. Mundungus, who had toppled backward off his chair, was swearing as he got to his feet. Crookshanks had given an angry hiss and shot off under the dresser, from whence his large yellow eyes glowed in the darkness. "Boys," said Mr. Weasley, lifting the stew back in the middle of the table, "your mother's right. You're supposed to show some sense of responsibility now you've come of age."
"None of your brothers caused this sort of trouble," Mrs. Weasley raged at the twins, slamming a fresh flagon of butterbeer on the table and spilling almost as much again. "Bill didn't feel the need to apparate every few feet. Charlie didn't charm everything he met. Percy—" She stopped dead, catching her breath with a frightened look at her husband. whose expression was suddenly wooden.
"Let's eat," said Bill quickly.
"It looks wonderful, Molly," said Lupin, ladling stew onto a plate for her and handing it across the table.
Maybe we'll stop there when they sit down to eat. You like that beautiful kitty? Very sweet.
Now take a nice long nap. Sleep well. Good night.